Hello, hello, hello. You know what time it is. It's time for Current Ritual with your host, SS Kitty. And today, I'm excited. I have Adam Hutchison in the house. He's new-ish to the Valley. He married a local. So, lucky him. He found his way here. And today, we're going to talk some Chinese medicine. So, Adam, welcome to the program. And tell our listeners a little bit about your background as a healthcare professional.
Yeah.
That mic, too, got me again. It got me last time. Let's switch to mic 3.
All right, switching over.
Dang, that mic, too, gets me every time. There we go.
Hello, hello.
Now you are with me and us. Wonderful. Mike's sorry, listeners. Around. I'll get this one day.
Thanks for having me, Kat.
Yeah.
Super excited to be here. Happy to be in the Valley. Thank you, everyone, for having me in your space. Yeah, so I am a licensed acupuncturist. And I've been in practice for about 8 years or so. We were living down in Durango and moved up here to Carbondale. You know, I've been trained in classical Chinese medicine, which means we study a lot of the older texts that help influence the medicine and influence our lives, hopefully for the better. And, you know, as a practitioner, I just really enjoy sharing that with my patients, finding what works best for them. And running with it.
So for my understanding, and it's very rudimentary of Chinese medicine, I love acupuncture, but I don't know a lot about the background of Chinese medicine. And my understanding is like it's a balance of hot and cold. Is that true? Or is that like a misnomer about Chinese medicine?
That's a great place to begin. You know, you could think about yin-yang theory. That's the dichotomy of hot and cold, if you will. Yang energy is very warming and it keeps your body alive and vital and warm. And the cold could be considered almost like a pathogen of sorts.
Okay.
And that could be the yin aspect. Not that yin is pathogenic, but yeah, there's a lot of different dynamics. Yin-yang is the basics. And from there, it also goes into, you know, what we term the five elements or the five phases. And that's just looking at medicine through the lens of sort of the seasons, if you will.
Okay. And so that's where in Chinese medicine, with the changing of the seasons and the temperature, you know, how do you support natural health? Or as, you know, a Chinese medicine practitioner, what would you tell your clients with this changing of the seasons?
For sure.
Habits or routines, what do they do?
So it depends on the season, of course. You know, we've been so quickly transitioning through fall and jumping right into the beauty of fall. And then we're getting these touches of winter already coming with the next storm arriving too. I'll tell my patients a lot of different things. It depends on what they have going on. Excuse me. I'm clearing out my own seasonal.
Right. You had some yin enter your life last week, right?
Yes. So it depends on what a person has going on. You know, for seasonal wellness, herbal medicine is really beneficial just to keep the immune system really strong. You know, in the fall, which is the season of metal, it's associated directly with the lungs. The dryness can creep in, the dryness in the air, the dryness in our bodies, that sort of the yang energy of our body is going deeper. And so all that like vital, juicy goodness of life is going just deeper into our body, which means we experience the dryness. You know, so there's different foods that can support the body. So eating seasonally is a really important one. Again, finding herbs that are beneficial to support the lungs and support your immune defenses. What else do we do?
What about, is it true or not from a Chinese medicine perspective that you shouldn't take a bath every day or shower every day in the winter? Does that have anything to do with the drying or is that sort of not
necessarily
related?
You know, it's there's so many things that are beneficial to the body. I mean, I know cold therapy is all the rage right now. It's very, very hyped. And I think that's all for the better. And it's an interesting conversation within Chinese medicine because, you know, traditionally people were living out in the elements. They were living in their huts and it was cold and they feared it and they wanted to stay warm and protected. Nowadays we have heating and we can control our environment. So, you know, taking your hot showers, finishing with a really cold finish can be really beneficial for your skin, beneficial for, again, for the immune system. So it's a kind of fun.
Even all throughout the winter,
like
winter and fall and
yeah,
those seasons.
Yeah, it can be good because it stimulates your body to like rise to the surface and keep those strong defenses.
Right. So. And then as far as herbs, is there a particular herb that helps with lung? Because especially, you know, I don't even want to talk about the pandemic at all, but I feel like it's still like 3 years later, you know, 2 years later, festering around.
Totally.
Is there a specific herb that's sort of like a catch-all that all of us should be aware of? And then, of course, this is not medical advice. This is not going to replace what you should talk to your doctor about. I just, you know, give everyone that, that disclaimer.
As a practitioner, I'd say first and foremost, go visit your local herbalist. You know, find someone you enjoy working with. Find someone who has good experience. Is there one herb? I'm going to say no. Okay. Traditionally in Chinese medicine, the herbs work together in little families. You know, they're meant to be in formulas. You know, just as individuals out there in the world, it's no fun just being going at it alone. Like, you want to have your community to work together. Sure, there's collectives of herbs that benefit. They help moisten the lungs. They help clear out phlegm. You know, they help open the airways, all sorts of things. But I'm not going to name one herb.
Right.
You know,
it's not a one size. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. And that's where working one on one. So in Chinese medicine, these herbal remedies or things that you might get, they're probably going to be individualized to you.
Totally. It, you know, as I said before, depends on what you have going on. And if a person has a dry cough, if they have a wet cough, if they have asthma, if they just have a trouble getting a deep breath, all those are little clues that a practitioner might say, oh, let me think of this to support you best.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's very
individualized. So that relationship, individualized. And that's honestly, like, the more being in healthcare since 2009, that's really where it's at, is this, you know, cookie cutter, one size fits all healthcare really doesn't work out too well. We really do need to be assessed, evaluated, and treated as individuals, and respecting each individual's sort of like ecosystem of our body.
Absolutely.
And what it needs to flourish and be healthy. So next question that I have is, how does, because Current Ritual always likes to come back into neuroscience and nervous system, that's sort of my thing and interest. So what does Chinese medicine teach about the nervous system, if there's a few major points that you can share with me and our listeners about that?
Sure. You know, the nervous system is fully recognized. If anything, you could kind of translate it as your spirit or your consciousness are kind of better terms that are used, at least within our scope of medicine. It's also directly associated with our heart, you know, and the spirit of the heart, the energy of the heart. And the heart governs our spirit and truly influences our brain consciousness. So, you know, we're already crossing wires here within our nervous system. It's not just the CNS, the central nervous system, but we're getting into the innervation throughout the body that's really connecting our heart realm with our thinking mind. You know, and traditionally in the classical texts will say this, say like the best form of medicine is to truly treat the person's shen. Shen is another word for spirit. And that is recognized in a healthy person as the light that shines and is emitted through their eyes, which is just a really beautiful way, because when you meet a person, you see this, again, I'll use the word vitality, but this like essence and this energy that pops out, and it's really connected, you know, when you connect with someone through their eyes and you see that light and that health coming through their body.
Right.
Assessing and considering the nervous system is very primary. In my practice, I enjoy providing treatments that help calm the nervous system, that help address, like treat the shen, because I think we have so many stressors that affect our daily life. It's important to get back into our bodies, get back into ourself, and remember that we're still healthy, we're still unique, and we're also imperfect in perfectly every way.
So, right. And thank you for explaining that. And this is something that I love. Since I started my private practice in 2016, my whole goal was, okay, if something's true in ancient wisdom and modern neuroscience, then that to me is like a truth. Like, if you can connect the dots between ancient knowing and then the modern science. And with you talking about the heart, you know, and the what they say, the central nervous system is like brain and spinal cord. And then the peripheral nervous system is considered all of the sensory organs and nerves and things. And there's even the enteric nervous system now that they're showing that the gut is part of the nervous system. And like the vagus nerve, you know, everybody's kind of catching up with this concept that the gut and the vagus nerve and the heart, you know, have a way bigger role to play with our consciousness and our mental health and our overall functioning. So hearing you talk about that, you know, it's sort of like semantics, you know, what do you call it? What do you name it?
Sure.
But this concept that you're talking about is being reflected in modern neuroscience now, that how our bodies actually function and how we attain health is very much dependent on the gut and the heart and the vagus nerve communicating with the brain. So I just wanted to mirror that back, you know, that to
Absolutely.
Me, like, and I don't really care. Like, that's where all of, you know, these concepts are what I'm into and what I want other people to realize as well. Because, you know, Chinese medicine and these ideas were considered woo-woo or not, you know, not respected by Western medicine, you know, for a long time. And I think acupuncture in Chinese medicine is gaining notoriety. And, you know, in my world, that's been my main form of healthcare.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that we can, through at least through Chinese medicine, acupuncture, herbs, body work, and other practices within the medicine, you can address all aspects of the human condition. So
that was my next question.
Yeah, totally.
So. If you have someone come in, are there like main pillars of that you address during treatment or goal that guide your goals? What would those be, the parts of the human condition?
Yeah. I mean, so I'm thinking of mind, body, and spirit. You know, specifically people come in a lot, most frequently for physical ailments, you know,
right.
aches and pains, and trying to speed up the healing process a little bit. You know, the definition of pain in Chinese medicine is where there's blockage in the channels. That could be physical. That can also be emotional too. So it's an important aspect right. that I ponder. And when I'm visiting with a patient to say, okay, well, here's physically what's going on. Excuse me. How are you doing emotionally as well? And what is sort of hiding beneath the surface that needs to be, you know, shook up and worked right. with, or just brought to our awareness and our consciousness so we can better process, you know, past wounds and be our best selves.
Right. And I think that is also another concept that's starting to become more recognized, is that our consciousness is all throughout our body. It's not just in our brain, and we hold memory in our body, and those memories, can show up as physical ailments and progress into these other things. So I do think there's a bit of a paradigm shift happening in healthcare and medicine, especially alongside, you know, Proposition 122 and psychedelics becoming more part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very intrigued by all of this and involved because of veterans affairs and veteran issues, you know, occupational therapy, where I started my career. We became a profession helping veterans. And now I'm looking, you know, at Prop 122 and the future of mental health care and psychedelics. And, you know, I have concerns about how we treat these populations. And I know I feel like the VA pays for acupuncture, which mm-hmm. is really cool that that has been accepted. And a lot of veterans are really benefiting from acupuncture, which leads to my next question, which is what age? Like, what, in your opinion, you know, who benefits from acupuncture? Is there sort of like a age range, or what's too young? What's the start time?
You know, I would say anybody could benefit. I also work with pediatrics in my own practice. That's called shonishin, which is a Japanese term for basically non-needle acupuncture for little ones.
Okay.
And so you can do very simple, gentle techniques because, you know, babies and toddlers and little kids are so sensitive. Their nervous systems respond really quickly to the medicine.
Right.
They're less fixed in their ways as us adults.
Let's right.
call ourselves
all
that.
Adults parading, wounded children parading as adults.
No. You know, but even folks who are older in age can really benefit too. You know, when medicine isn't really providing exactly what they need, and I worked a lot with veterans down in Durango, and I had a lot of those patients coming in, and often I'm like their last resort, and you know, they're so fortunate to have hands on the body who are working with their old pains. The needles can really be beneficial. So they were really grateful for the work that we can provide. So it's fascinating to see how we move forward, just addressing, you know, histories with PTSD and trauma and what's available to people.
Right. So and what is there a stance on psychedelics within Chinese medicine? And obviously, when I say maybe we shouldn't even say psychedelics, because now I'm realizing I listened to a conference last night about 122 and Proposition 122. And someone made a great point that psychedelics are the synthetic drugs that have been created by modern America. And plant medicine is plant medicine. And sure. That's not psychedelics. You know, that was some of the indigenous healers and shaman and teachers who are on the call, you know, who have these lineages. you know, and all the education, or it's probably not education, I don't even know what to call it, initiation, you know, and awareness that they have that Western medicine doesn't have. That was a good delineation. So plant medicine, you know, obviously herbs is a huge part of Chinese medicine. Is there anything in there with the mind-altering plant medicine that exists? Or yeah. What's the stance on Chinese medicine?
You know, there's obviously a lot of ancient research, right? Like you could go back into Taoist roots. Like the original medicine that they had at hand was the herbs and plants available around them in their communities. And they had different categories for herbs as well. Ones that influence the Shen, you know, I'll use that word again, influence your awareness and your consciousness. And others that are just, you know, more rudimentary, let's say, that are working within the body at a different level. Is there texts specifically referencing like mind-altering substances or psychoactive substances? Not necessarily. Like cannabis, what they were aware of it back then, was it utilized within the pharmacy? Not specifically.
Okay.
But other really strong ones like ginseng, which is really well known. It's another, like a plant of longevity. They recognize reishi mushrooms. Okay. and the benefits of those. Okay. Again, for prolonging longevity. So there's awareness of it. Is it all written down? Probably not.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I was wondering about that. And then, so something that brought you and I together is the Lucialite. We mm-hmm. both have one of these and use it within our private practice. So I want to understand more about how you incorporate the Lucialite into your practice of Chinese medicine and acupuncture.
Totally. So the light is something new and exciting within my own practice. Not everybody wants to come in and get needles in their body to feel better, you know, and I understand that.
I love acupuncture. I just keep my eyes closed. That's how I deal with it.
Some people want a more gentle approach. I think that's where hands-on work comes in. Body work can be amazing. The light is very, I'll describe it as yin because it's just non-invasive. It's not like affecting the physical body right away. Mm-hmm. But it's also very potent. You know, it's a strong light coming into your body and it's directly working with the nervous system. And, you know, as a practitioner, I see that as a great benefit of helping a person get out of their day-to-day brainwaves of just going about life and get into their self, get back into their body, into their feelings, into their parasympathetic state. So they're not running around feeling like a tiger is chasing them, but they can actually be present and be kind of the best aspect of themselves that they want to be.
Right. And that's, I use it for similar reasons for me too. Like what I've realized is the light can drop you into that parasympathetic activation. And for listeners, I'm going to give you a very rudimentary explanation, but there's the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system does your fight or flight. It's, you know, not within your conscious control and it's meant to protect you and keep you alive and keep you safe. So when we were hunters and gatherers, you know, and living out in the elements and still at the will of nature, it protected us and it had a very useful function. Well, the world around us has changed very quickly, but our nervous systems are, from what I consider, still really ancient, you know, not that different from our ancestors. And so with the stress of the news, elections, traffic, work deadlines, you know, are that autonomic system, that sympathetic nervous system doesn't realize it's not life threatening. They just know we're stressed and then it's activated to try to protect us. And then the parasympathetic is what does rest and digest and boosts immune function and boosts our executive functions, which is strategic planning, higher reasoning, spirituality, empathy, things like that. So literally, if we're in this like prolonged stress response, we're not accessing our higher self, our ability to reason and plan and coordinate our memory. And so that's where for years I've been like, everyone is in the stress response. Like, what is going on? And so when I found the light, I was like, oh, this is great. This is a efficiency tool that quickly drops us in, you know, because not a lot of us have hours to spend in transcendental meditation to try to get there. So maybe is it cheating, or is it like, you know, modern problems call for modern solutions, you know, because what do you think about that?
I think it's an amazing technology. And I think we're really fortunate to have it here in the Valley. And the patients that have come to sit under it and experience it have been thrilled with it. Partly because they're able to continue the work that they're doing, perhaps in their own meditative practice. They're able to kind of reconnect again with their self, their highest self, the highest aspect of who they are. And maybe even able to process better whatever emotional stuff is coming up for them in that day, or maybe it's in the past 20 years. A lot of people get really great insight within a session. They're able to like have a little release or emotional release and then kind of move on with it and get back into their flow and like, and again, drop into their body and be more present.
Right. And so that goes back to the whole idea. You know, I tell my clients, you can't talk your way into a different nervous system. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't think your way around this stuff. It has to be that body level to modulate the nervous system. You know, it has to be this sensory level. And one cool thing about the Lucia light is that it has the halogen bulb, which is the full spectrum lighting. Mm-hmm. So you get the pineal gland activation. And so with that, does Chinese medicine talk about the pineal gland, or it's, you know, I've heard you talk about the heart, you know, space being Shen. Is that what it is?
Shen.
Yep. Shen. I'm learning. I got it. Is there any talk about the pineal gland within Chinese medicine?
In my understanding, I would say no. I mean, they had great knowledge of the body and did, you know, cadaver work and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, so they knew all the tissues and everything. It's more about like the state that we're existing within and how we're connecting with people and how we're resonating with people. Does the pineal influence that? It certainly can. You know, I'd say to those out there, like, go experience it for yourself. But it was about people being authentic and having true connection with their community. You know, again, like the concept of the heart is to be forever connected to greater spirit. There's always a thread that's always connected, whether we're aware of it or not, because we often forget it. Mm-hmm. But it's present and it's always available to be accessed in that regard. Mm-hmm. So is the pineal in there? Absolutely. Are there points right over the pineal gland and, you know, connecting us to our upper energy levels? Absolutely.
Okay. So, cool. Yeah. And I will say, now that I'm thinking about it, when I lay under the light, I feel it in my heart chakra. That's like where I notice it the most, when I feel the energy moving in my body and my body responding to it. It is quite a heart opening activity. Mm-hmm. And so as far as people, if listeners want to connect with you, work with you, what's a good way, or let people know how to connect with you, where you're located, if they want to work with you in person?
Sure. So my practice is Lumen Acupuncture and Light. I'm here in town off of Main Street. And the website is super simple. It's lumencarbondale.com.
Awesome. And that's Lumen, L-U-M-E-N.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Carbondale.com. Yep. Excellent. And then also, Adam and I are collaborating, for any listeners who might be interested. He and I are very passionate about ceremony and group activation and community healing. And so we're going to start offering 2-hour nervous system reset ceremonies where we're going to have movement, Qigong, breath work, the light, the Lucia light therapy, some gentle craniosacral work, and then some group processing. And our first one that we're holding is on November 20th at Kula Yoga here in Carbondale. And so if you would be interested in participating, we're capping it at 10. So if you're interested in participating, email me at kat@currentritual.com. Or you can contact the station, get a hold of me, go to currentritual.com. There's ways to get a hold of me. But if you want to participate in this ceremony, get in touch with me and then I can get you the link to register. Because what about that? Maybe that should be the final question is, is there anything from Chinese medicine perspective that happens in groups, like group activation with like the Shen? And can you talk a little bit about, versus like, you know, doing ceremony by ourselves, doing healing by ourselves? Yeah. Is there any insight or wisdom that you can bring about the group dynamic?
You know, imagine back in the day when people would gather around their fire, around the fire pit. That was their place of safety. It's their place of stories. It's their place of connection. And I think you share your heart field in a resonant shared space. And things become more cohesive, more connected. And around the fires is also where the magic happens.
Right. I think that's what you and I are trying to recapture is, the loss of ceremony. Mm-hmm. And with Proposition 122 and the push with psychedelics, you and I are kind of taking a step back and saying, hey, there's a lot of work we can do without those medicines and without culturally appropriating these ancient ceremonies. There's things that we can do that are in alignment with our modern knowledge, with our credentials that we have in this system, and can really show up for our community without stepping on the toes and being disrespectful to the cultures and indigenous people who really, I'd say, have more stake and claim on these medicines and these ceremonies that we need to learn from as we move forward. I'm text messages are coming in from people who are listening and they're saying, sign me up for the ceremony. Great conversation. So cool. Excellent. Well, that's what we're here to do is to serve our community and to remind everyone about nervous system health. And then I'm trying to think, are there any other things that I didn't cover that you would like to share with our listeners?
No, I mean, I would say that we're trying to empower individuals through really simple practices, through simple shaking and qigong, through breath work. Everybody's breathing every moment. And
you can finish your thought. We have a second.
To the valley. Join us.
Right, yeah. Right. And based on community need and interest, we may be able to tailor these ceremonies because I'm big with collaborating with the Syndigo. So maybe we have, an autism, neurodivergent, friendly ceremony. Maybe we have one focused for moms, so talk to us, community. We're here. We want to stand in power with you and make these ceremonies really potent. So thank you for listening. This has been the Current Ritual Public Affairs Show. And I guess just catch me next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.